The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Executive Director Ray Andrewson. We bring you these podcasts to highlight some of our members and what they're doing in the community, what the events they have coming up, how you can engage with them, learn more about their products, learn more about their mission. And we have a very important mission with this podcast here today, as we're going to talk about a growing issue, a health issue here in the United States, and much research is being done on it. We're going to tell you a little bit about how you can engage and support the Alzheimer's Association of Connecticut. And can't think of two better people to talk about this vital topic within your family as Kristen Gozzato. She's communications director and a research champion, we might add, with the Alzheimer's Association. Kristen, it's great to see you again and hear you again here on this podcast. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us, Ray.
Absolutely. And Kristen Weldon. Kristen is the development manager with the Alzheimer's Association here of Connecticut. Kristen, welcome. It's good to have you here, too.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Full disclosure, we have a podcast with two Kristens. So I'm going to ask questions of Kristen C and Kristen W. So that's how we're going to rock for the next few minutes here. So I'll start with Kristen C. You know, Kristen, I'm amazed. And even in your own personal career, when you were at WTNH, you made a very determined career move to go to the Alzheimer's Association as communications director because of your personal experience. You felt and saw within your own mother the decline and challenges. Bring us back to that journey. And you have stayed with the Alzheimer's Association for many years now, and why this is so important to you.
Right. Well, thank you. Yeah, my mom was diagnosed in 2009 with a type of dementia called Lewy body dementia. It's not quite Alzheimer's. It's a little bit different, but still has a cognitive decline, certainly. She was diagnosed at the age of 61, which is younger onset, which means when people are diagnosed below the age of 65, it's considered younger onset. And that's not even that young, to be honest with you. People in their 30s and 40s and 50s have been diagnosed with a type of dementia. So I was actually living in San Diego at the time, and I left everything and came back east to help take care of my mom. And we were together on the journey. I went back to WTNH. And then after being with the TV station for a couple more years, you know, I've been taking care of her. I've been with her. And a position opened up with the Alzheimer's Association. And I had been learning so much. And I knew I had the communication skills. And I wanted to be able to share and use what I had to be able to share the information that I was learning, not only about what are the 10 signs, how do you communicate with somebody who has this disease, but also how to make it a little bit easier on the caregivers, because it is super challenging and incredibly taxing, I would say emotionally, financially, physically, on the caregiver. And we really need to make sure those caregivers are equipped and that they rest and that they take care of themselves. Otherwise, it's going to be a rough road. It's a rough road anyway. But if you can, you know, I found out that if you can reach out to the Alzheimer's Association and you can learn skills and you can get this respite that's important to you, you'll be in a better situation for your loved one. And my mom's journey lasted 4 years and she passed away at the age of 65. And, you know, I am still trying to help others go through it. And now, you know, it's more about let's learn about a lot of things, and we could talk about this in a bit. What can we do now as children of, or as folks who don't have a personal connection, to reduce our own risk? So there's a lot of things we can do in that regard too, which is exciting, because talking about brain health, we didn't do it a couple of years ago, but now we're full on talking about brain health.
I'm glad, because now we're evolving, we're learning so much more. But before we start identifying this, and we don't have to go through all 10 of the symptoms or signs or things that we can look for, there's a lot of confusion related to Alzheimer's and dementia. Let's make the distinction.
Yeah, it's good to level set that. And you hear those two terms used interchangeably a lot. And we are the Alzheimer's Association, but it's Alzheimer's and all related dementia. So we deal with all the different types of dementia. So what does that mean? Well, dementia is the umbrella term. It's really these symptoms that you experience as a person going through this. So you'll experience the confusion, the getting lost coming home from a place where you should be really familiar, the repetitive stories, you know, four times asking the same question in an hour, having trouble with time and space. Like those are some of the signs. And those are the experiential things, the behavior and frustration that comes from all those things, from not being able to have the word come out and things like that. So that's what you're experiencing. Alzheimer's is the actual biological brain changes. It's the disease that causes those symptoms, that causes the dementia. And then in addition to Alzheimer's, which is the most common type diagnosed, there is vascular dementia, which is quickly coming number two. There is a mixed dementia, which is kind of Alzheimer's and vascular and some other things. There's Lewy body, which is I was talking about. There's frontotemporal, which deals with the front lobe of the brain. So there's a lot of different types of dementia, a lot of different types and biological changes that cause those symptoms.
Yeah. And it's very difficult, I think, for a layperson who isn't a skilled nurse or someone who hasn't been in your line of work or been able to study this, to really understand it. And I think a lot of families, I think you'd agree, are in denial. It takes a lot for a spouse or a loved one to understand the challenge of this kind of decline.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like it's a light bulb moment when the caregiver says, you know what, I need to make sure that I can find someone to help me, right? We always say, don't do it alone. And we have an 800 number, if I can throw that out, Ray. It's 800-272-3900. That's our 24/7 helpline, which you can call with any question about anything, about dementia, about caregiving, about, hey, can I get a list of doctors in New Haven, you know? So there's that number is incredibly helpful for anyone to utilize. And when you realize that you know, need help, or when you realize that you can't do it alone, it's like a little bit of a relief, you know, that you don't have to be alone in this. And you can even go to, you know, we have these great support groups where people can come and say, oh, you tried that medication with your mom, or, oh, you tried that way of communicating with your husband. Let me give that a go. Or that's, you know, that's a care aspect that I didn't even know was an option for me. I didn't even know there was a respite grant that I could apply to so that I could have someone come in the home and watch this person so I can A, go grocery shopping, B, take a nap, whatever you need, you know, to kind of self-care in this midst of everything, that even just like go to the doctor's office yourself. There's so many people who don't even take care of themselves when they're taking care of the person. And you know, I'm a proponent of this. Not everyone believes in it, but I think that some people who have this disease don't have to be told that they have this disease. Sometimes they're like denial themselves. So then you just kind of you adapt around them. They don't need to be told every 5 minutes, you've got Alzheimer's, you've got memory issues. I'm sure they know that things are changing, but I don't know if that's going to build more agitation that you need to keep reinforcing them. Just kind of work and shift around them.
So thank you, Kristen. And Kristen Welton, too. We're going to talk in a moment, if we can, about how people can participate in WALK, very special event that's coming up later on this month. And that's where we congregate and bring families and supporters in the community together. But Kristen Cazzato, I want to go back, if we can, just to talk a little bit about what other signs are there. And we know they're almost like comorbidities. One thing that goes along with this is depression. And a significant lack of interest in living in many cases because of the decline. What insight can you give for caregivers who have to care for themselves as well as care for someone who is experiencing mental cognitive decline?
Are you talking about the depression for the person with? Because that also happens, person with
both.
And caregivers, both. Right? Both, yeah.
Both, yes.
So for the person with, that's actually, you know, one of the signs. It's kind of really kind of shutting down and pulling back from activities that they used to enjoy. That's one of the signs of something that you may want to look into, a memory change that you may want to look into. Because it could be that, you know, we used to say that, you know, you know, Mary's not playing bridge anymore, and she's like the head bridge player, and she doesn't want to play, and we don't understand. Well, maybe Mary kind of forgot the rules of the game, and she's embarrassed, so she's pulling back on something that she really used to enjoy. Or, you know, my mom won't even think about, for example, my mom wouldn't even think about learning how to text. It was back in the day when we were all starting to text. She's like, nope, nope, nope. I think that she was having some vision issues, and I think not being able to, you know, do it. It's tiny little numbers, tiny little things. She's like, I can't, I'm not going to do it. So challenges like that, learning new things are hard. So sometimes they pull back. So, I mean, they even, you know, encourage if therapy is your thing, you know, or support groups. And what's great about when people are early diagnosed, we have a lot of early stage support groups. So it's not just for caregivers who can, like I was mentioning, talk to other people who are going through the same thing or who've been. There are activities and groups, and a lot of them online, you know, due to COVID, you don't even have to leave your house. You can just Zoom right in. And so that people can like talk about it amongst each other. You know, sometimes people who have the disease feel like they're alone too. And, you know, their spouse is asking them a lot to do a lot, and they're not understanding, or they're getting annoyed or tired. So we have a lot of groups for those in the early stages and activities to kind of keep their brain going as well. So I would say definitely reach out and definitely, you know, try to look at things that are, like I was saying, that are in their history. If they used to like model trains, talk about trains. If they used to be, there was a guy on my mom's floor when she was in a facility who used to be a doctor, and he was nonverbal. And the aides and the nurses used to come and be like, "Doc, my kid's got this going on. Can you help me? Can you help me understand it?" It's giving them their worth back. So asking them about something that's important, they go, "Oh, okay, well, I can still give back and I can still contribute," which is hard. It's hard for them to get to that point.
In terms of giving back and someone who's kind of had the slippage and this lack of control in some ways, talk about control and actually reasserting that sort of self-esteem, which regardless of whether you have dementia, Alzheimer's, or other conditions, self-esteem is still part of our makeup as humans. Emboldening somebody with that kind of knowledge, but also the emotional care that goes into this, because it's almost like you need to put an arm around someone's shoulder and to reassure someone.
Are you talking about somebody with the disease or caregiving as well?
Both. We're going in both lanes here.
Yeah. I think that the person who has the disease, again, asking them for something, you know, that they used to know about to give them their worth. Another story is that we were at an early stage group, and we were at this lunch, and we brought a bunch of people with the early stage to have lunch, and we were supposed to have a quiet room, and they'd booked another party in the same room for lunch, and it was loud. And people with dementia sometimes really need quiet to focus. There's too much stimulation, too many things coming in. They really need to focus, and they really need quiet, so they might get agitated. So it was this gentleman, and he was also a doctor, and he said, this chair is uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, well, you know, as opposed to fighting them, this is a big tip that I want everyone to realize. Don't argue, just go into their reality. Whatever if they say the chair is uncomfortable, let's switch the chair out. So here, let's switch the chair out. So we did. This chair is uncomfortable too. This chair doesn't feel good either. And so we switched the chair out again. Oh, this doesn't feel good. You know, it wasn't really about the chair. It was probably about the fact that there was so much stimulation and there was too much noise in there. So we flipped the switch and we said, "Doc, you know, where did you start your residency? I can't remember. Can you tell me about that again?" And he's like, "Oh," sits up straighter. "Well, I started at this college and I did this and this." And it's a great distraction. So distracting them to remind them of who they were, they're still in there, but maybe some of the accomplishments they had before, because that makes them feel like, "Oh, okay, I cannot think about the fact that I'm in a strange facility, or that I can't walk anymore, or that I can't contribute to the conversation, but I can talk about the old days and I can talk about this old stuff." And then I would think to shift gears with caregivers, just making sure that you, if you have a friend who's going through this, reach out to them and say, "Hey, can I come sit with your mom for a while? Or can I take your mom to lunch so that you can rest? Or can I take you to lunch? Can you get a person to watch your person so that you can go somewhere and not think about this? Go get your nails done, or, you know, go for a run, or go for a bike ride, or something that feels like it'll make you feel like a human again, because this whole thing is super draining."
Absolutely. Well, that's a lot of great information and advice, Kristen, that you provided us here. Again, 800-272-5000. 3900 is the national support line for Alzheimer's dementia questions if you have them. Very important. And Kristen Welton, I note September 25th, speaking of not maybe a run, but a walk, we'll all be out walking for Alzheimer's. And tell us a little bit about the event if we can, coming up, and how we can register, how we can support it going forward.
Sure. Yeah. We have our Walk to End Alzheimer's of Greater New Haven. We are at Lighthouse Point Park this year on Sunday, September 25th. Our opening ceremony starts at 10 o'clock and the gates will be open about 8:30. So if you wanted to arrive early, you know, it's a great event. We've been doing it for over 30 years now in the New Haven community. And it's really an opportunity for, you know, everyone who's, you know, loves someone with dementia or Alzheimer's to come together and realize that they're not going through this alone. You know, as Kristen mentioned, you know, a lot of times caregivers and people living with the disease feel rather isolated. And I think the last 2 years have really doubled down on that feeling. So, you know, it's an opportunity for everyone to come together and, you know, see that there are others living with this and kind of chat and make some new friends and, you know, kind of communicate with, you know, how they're all getting through it all. So in the event, the easiest way to sign up and participate in advance is through our website, which is act.alz.org/Greater New Haven. It has a bunch of information about the day available on the site too. You could register a team. And just, you know, start fundraising if you can, and then that supports some of these programs that Kristen was mentioning, and it would make them available to the community for free. And then also some of that money goes towards research to help find new treatments and cures for the disease. And actually some of that actually stays here in New Haven too. So we have, you know, some researchers at Yale and at UConn who are doing some work for us too. So, you know, we try and support the community as best we can through the walk.
Excellent. Again, act.alz.org/New Haven. Find the walk and the registration. Get out there September 25th to Lighthouse Park. Kristen Welton, Development Manager for Alzheimer's Association, and also Kristen Cusato, also the Communications Director with Alzheimer's Association. Thank you both. And I must say, I don't feel that the short time that we've been able to spend together has done justice this important issue. I wish we had more time to talk and discuss this. So we encourage all of you listening to this to please log on, get your questions answered, learn more, call the hotline. It's vital for your family, for yourself, and certainly for your loved ones. Thank you both for being with us, the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quincham.com. That's randrewson@quincham.com.